And as you take your seats, if you would please, find Colossians chapter 4 in your copy of God's Word. Today, we've had the opportunity, through the ordination of deacons, to kind of have a little symbolic representation of how important it is that we serve the Lord together in partnership. And today, we will now have an opportunity to look at God's Word and see the importance of partnering together to do ministry and looking back not only on our ordination and looking back not only on the men who serve in a variety of capacities and the women who serve in a variety of capacities at Blue Valley Baptist Church, but to see and be reminded of the partnerships that have allowed us as a church family to exist these 40 years. Now, if you've been with us for the past several months, we've been going through the book of Colossians, and we have learned what the best life is, and we have learned that the best life is the life of Christ in me being lived out of me so that my life becomes a reflection that the life of Christ would have had in my own life if he were actually me, if he were walking in my shoes and had my experience. And so it's real easy as we have that kind of experience looking at God's Word to get very internal with our thinking about the Christian life and me-centered in our thinking about the Christian life. But today, and we see this through the personal greetings that Paul extends at the end of all of his books, we see that it is important for us to realize that the best life as an individual is meant to be lived out in community, meant to be lived out in partnership. And so as we look at these personal greetings that close the book of Colossians, sections of scripture that we typically just run past in our own devotional reading, we'll see three truths about what it means and how important it is to minister in partnership and to live in partnership to truly experience the best life. Learning first that best life partnerships expand our ministry. If you would please look at verse 7. It says, Tychicus will tell you about my activities. He is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They will tell you of everything that has taken place here. He begins by referencing Tychicus and Onesimus, and I'm sure both of those names are at the very top of boy names of any expectant family in this room. Tychicus and Onesimus were men who were very important to Paul, and we know this not only because they're mentioned here, but because they're mentioned in other places in the New Testament. Tychicus shows up several different times in these kinds of closing greetings from Paul, and Onesimus, in fact, is featured prominently in the New Testament. He is the subject, in fact, of the little letter, the book of Philemon, that exists in God's Word. So these men were men who were helping Paul. How? By delivering the letter to the Colossian church. They were taking what Paul had transcribed, had dictated, and took it to the Colossian church. And so that begs the question, well, why wasn't Paul able to take the letter to the Colossians? Well, because he was in prison. He was unable to go. But because he had these men, Tychicus and Onesimus, he was able to extend his ministry past how he could have ever experienced ministry and given ministry by himself. He was able to do far more in partnership with others than he ever could by himself. It's in the same way that Blue Valley Baptist Church started. 40 years ago, Emmanuel Baptist Church in the northern part of Overland Park decided that there needed to be a church in what was then the rural part of Johnson County. And they decided that what they would do is give up some members from their church. We've already heard their testimony through the video. And that they would come down here and establish the church. Now, why would they do that? They did that because they understood that another church that they partnered with down here could do more to reach Johnson County than they ever could by themselves. So partnership helped establish this church. It's also how we began our campus in Olathe. We, almost 4 years ago, gave 200 people away from Blue Valley Baptist Church, as it had always existed right here on this campus, and sent them to Olathe to be able to do work over there. And because we now have a campus in Olathe, we are able to reach more people than we could have if we'd remained a central campus inviting everybody from all over to come. Now, because we're over in Olathe, we have folks in that area across I-35 that are able to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we never would have been able to do that by ourselves. But one thing I want you to note here is that these relationships didn't happen by accident. Tychicus and Onesimus had cultivated relationships with Paul. Paul worked in their lives to get them to the point where they could be partners with him in ministry. He had led them both to the Lord. He had developed them both to where they could actually help him do the very important ministry of taking the gospel in its infancy around the world. So that begs the question, whose life are you building into right now who can expand the ministry that you yourself are doing? Are you a Sunday school teacher? Let me ask you, is there anybody in your Sunday school class that you're developing, that you're cultivating to help you teach that class and maybe even teach that class someday on their own and you go somewhere else to minister? Is there a ministry that you oversee that you're passionate about, that you're developing someone in who can take that ministry beyond the scope of your life? When I think about that, I think about the library ministry at Blue Valley Baptist Church. I have been in church ministry vocationally for 32 years. Every church library that I had ever been exposed to in those 32 years of ministry, save one, was a complete joke. Do you know what the church library was in every church that I served before Blue Valley? It was the storage closet of the things that nobody else wanted. It was dirty, it stunk, nobody wanted to go in there. And then you arrive here at Blue Valley and you have this unbelievably vibrant ministry headed by Faye Hudnall. Faye has been so passionate about that she's given that ministry away. And so there's a group of people around her here at the Antioch campus that can carry that ministry past her. Because she's passionate about that, she's been able to establish a ministry, a library ministry at Ridgeview, because Julie Schrader has followed along in her lead and been equipped by her to be able to do a library ministry there. That's not something that she guarded to herself. That's something that she gave away. And because she's able to give it away, it's going to last past Faye. Hers is an example. Tychicus and Onesimus is an example that we are in partnership with one another so that we can expand our ministry and do more than we ever could on our own. Also, we see in these closing greetings, that Best Life Partnerships encourage our ministry. Look at verse 10. Aristarchus, again, high on baby list. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, and Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you have received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice. These are the only men of the circumcision, which means these are the only men who are Christians from a Jewish background. These are the only men of the circumcision among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have been a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas. Here, Paul references a group of men with whom he has a rich personal history, and he is saying that these men have been an encouragement to me. They have helped me be able to do what I do because of their investment interpersonally in my life. Aristarchus shows up numerous times in the book of Acts. Together with Mark and Justice, they are said to have been an encouragement to Paul while he was in prison. Men that stood alongside him, did not abandon him when he was incarcerated by the Roman government, and able to encourage him to keep pressing on. He also mentions a man named Epaphras. Epaphras was likely the founding pastor of the church at Colossae and had brought word of this church to Paul and said to Paul, because of your skill and because of your thoughtfulness in Christian ministry, I believe this church that you've never been to could benefit from what you have to offer them. And so by Epaphras encouraging Paul, Paul is able to equip others. He is encouraged in ministry. Luke, who is mentioned frequently in the book of Acts, is mentioned as well as being an encouragement. But let me say this to you. Anytime you get into partnership with someone, anytime you get into community with someone, that you open up your life to be transparent and you do the very close to the surface task of doing ministry, anytime you do that, there is risk involved. And I want you to hear me. When you open yourself up to do ministry with someone else, you may get your heart broken. Mark is an example of this. Mark is a man who, as a very young man, had accompanied Paul and his partner at the time, Barnabas, on a missionary journey. But, and this is basically, this is kind of a street, because I'm street, you can tell by looking at me. This is a, it's kind of a street version of thinking of how it's described. Mark got really scared and ran home to mama, left them, abandoned Paul and his missionary journey. Well, they're getting ready to go on another missionary journey, Paul and Barnabas. And Barnabas wanted to take Mark, and Paul said, no way. We're not taking that guy. That guy abandoned us. I'm not going to give him another chance. And there arose such a sharp disagreement, and that's how Scripture describes it, a sharp disagreement between Paul and Barnabas that they split up over this man, Mark, that Paul saw no future in. But when you get to the end of his life, you see that they had come around together, and Mark is a very important person. He'd been hurt, Paul had, by Mark, but they had been able to reconcile it. So, you know, good news. But there's bad news in here as well. Demas is mentioned. Here, no ill will being spoken of Demas, but in Paul's last letter, he says, Demas has forsaken the gospel and forsaken me. He was in prison, and Demas was nowhere to be found because, Paul said, Demas became more concerned about the cares of this world. Demas broke his heart. So there's risk involved. But folks, God has meant for us to live with that kind of risk, and the benefit of being in partnership and transparent is worth it because others will encourage us to do the work that God has called us to do. And then finally, best life partnerships equip others' ministry. In fact, it might be better to say it this way. Best life partnerships equip other churches in their ministry. If you would please look at verse 15. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea. This is his way of saying, say hello to the church in the nearby community at Laodicea. And to Nympha and the church in her house, likely the one who hosted the church at Laodicea in her house. And there was no grub and pub, you see, in the early days of the Roman world. And when this letter has been read among you, note this, when this letter has been read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans. Read what was the book of Colossians to the church at Laodicea, and then note this, and see that you also read the letter from Laodicea. Now, we don't have record of that letter, but Paul apparently wrote a letter to the church at Laodicea. And say to Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. Someone in one of those two churches needed encouragement, and he gives it. And then he closes by saying, I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand, not dictating anymore, writes it with his own hand. Remember my chains. In other words, remember me in prayer while I am in prison. And then he says, grace with you all. Here's what I want us to see. As Paul closed out the book of Colossians, he says to one church, you have a responsibility for the spiritual well-being of another church. And he says to that church, you have a responsibility for the spiritual well-being of the Colossian church. Do you see that? Neither church was meant to exist in isolation from one another. Now, here in the modern world in which we live, church work in America has become every man for himself. This is my kingdom that I'm building as a member of Blue Valley or as a leader at Blue Valley. This is the only thing that matters, and I may hear about a negative thing happening in another church, but we don't feel any sense of personal responsibility for it. Well, what do you think Paul felt? Do you think Paul felt that churches should be equipping and encouraging other churches to be able to do the ministry that God has called them to do? I think he did. I think he wants Blue Valley Baptist Church to care about the other churches that are in our area, Southern Baptist and otherwise, and do what we can if we become aware that there's a problem in one of those churches to pray for and maybe even encourage in some tangible way the work that God is calling them to do. I hear some people say, I don't know how what happens at another campus of Blue Valley Baptist Church has much to do with me. And what do you think Paul says here? Do you think Paul is saying that what happens at Ridgeview has a direct result, on a direct effect on the well-being of the Antioch campus and vice versa? I think he does. I think he does. We need one another. We need other churches. Folks, the days are going to get dark. They just are. And every man for himself is not going to be practical very much longer. We need to lash ourselves together so that we can continue to do the work that God has called us to do. So I want us to think, in closing, about 10 years from now. I want us to think about the 50th anniversary. I'll be 62 years old. When I came here as a 41-year-old, I thought 62-year-olds needed walkers. You know, and now I'm thinking I can actually see a world that exists in which I'm in my 60s and 70s and beyond. Think about 10 years from now. What are we going to celebrate? What's Blue Valley Baptist Church going to celebrate at our golden anniversary? Here's what I hope we're celebrating. I hope we're celebrating the establishment of more campuses of Blue Valley Baptist Church, because God has resourced with finances and people Blue Valley Baptist Church to establish vibrant campuses, vibrant congregations around our area. One of the big needs right now in Johnson County is a gospel preaching church over around State Line and north from 135th Street. One of the big needs of Blue Valley of Johnson County right now is to establish a gospel preaching church down around 175th between Schweitzer and Quivira. And God has positioned Blue Valley to perhaps be the church that helps establish congregations there that start as campuses and maybe even someday become their own standalone churches. You say, okay, I get that. Maybe in 10 years we can point to other campuses, maybe even campuses that have become independent churches that we've helped establish. But let's think beyond that. We partner with the Kansas-Nebraska Convention of Southern Baptist Churches at Blue Valley Baptist Church. The Kansas-Nebraska Convention of Southern Baptists works to establish congregations and to facilitate church health of Southern Baptist churches in our two states. Right now, as of today, in our two states, there are 91 counties that have no Southern Baptist church. 91 counties. And a good many of those don't have any church that preach the gospel that you and I would identify as the gospel. 91. What will we do? How will we give to facilitate planting of churches in these vast unreached areas of the Midwest? What will we do in perhaps maybe calling some of our own out and saying, you know what, you could do what you do way out in Scottsbluff, Nebraska. Maybe you need to move there and help establish a church. You say, well, I want another idea. Okay, here's another idea. Maybe when you begin to hear this in the next few months, that there are some counties close to us that we can help get churches established, rather than just say, well, I'm glad our church is doing that, ask yourself, how can I be involved? Because partnership is intended to equip ministry beyond just what God has called us individually to do. And so our journey of the best life discovery through the book of Colossians comes to an end by reminding us of the importance of partnering with others who are living their best life. Let's make a commitment as individuals and as a church to be in partnership with others so that people throughout our realm of influence can discover and live that best life. Would you join me in prayer, please?